First and 10 on his own 30 after the touchback. Shotgun, back to throw, eyeing the right. Crosby in his face, and he drives him to the turf at the 17. Crosby with his second sack in the game. Oh, man, it's a loss of 13 yards.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
A lot of Raider highlights.
Ed, I got to ask a question for you. John Von Tobel lost a bet to me.
Right.
He said the Astros would never be in first place in the AL West this year, and obviously they are. And the bet was that if I won, he would have to bring me my breakfast that I get every morning.
Right.
And he specifically said, I will bring you your terrible, healthy breakfast.
Okay.
And then the Astros obviously got into first place. He paid off the bet, or he tried to pay off the bet this week. He intentionally brought me a sausage McGriddle. I get a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle. And he intentionally brought me a kid-sized Dr. Pepper. I get a large Dr. Pepper. And I did text him the night before with what my McDonald's
what your order was.
Do you think he has actually paid off this bet?
Not if you texted him the exact order.
All right. Thank you. John Von Tobel still owes me breakfast.
Right?
Yeah.
You texted him the exact order.
I sent him
order.
Bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle, large Dr.
Large
Pepper.
Large Dr. Pepper.
And he brought in sausage, egg, and cheese.
If he was guessing and he just wanted to bring you something to eat, that's one thing.
Right. But I texted him what it was.
Yeah.
And he thinks he paid it off because he thinks all he had to do was bring me breakfast when he specifically said, I will bring you your breakfast.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, all right.
I think if you texted him the night before, that's an easy make. You just go and you just order off the phone whatever you texted him.
Danny, save that sound. We're playing that next week when John Von Tobel's in and he argues against this.
All right.
Here we go.
The First Bite.
Are the Raiders ever going to be able to run the ball?
This week, have you seen what Carolina's given up on the ground?
Have you seen the Raiders' offensive
stats? I have.
I've
been at both games. I've seen the run game. It doesn't exist.
Let me give you these numbers here because they're incredible. Even if you've watched them, they are 32nd in EPA per play when they hand it off. Zamir White ranks 54th out of 54 running backs by Pro Football Focus grading. The Raiders rank 31st in run block grading by PFF. Only Denver is worst. And if you want the traditional stats, they're averaging 49 rushing yards per game. That's last in the league. They're averaging 2.5 yards per carry. That's last in the league. Like,
this is the week. Here comes unreal. Carolina. They've given up like 300 yards in 2 weeks rushing. Can't stop the run. This is the week.
What if they're not winning by like three touchdowns in the fourth quarter? Because part of the reason they've given up so many rushing yards is the game has been over in the third quarter. So
the Chargers are up 20-0 in a blink.
Yeah, we're just going to hand the ball off every time we get it now.
Right.
Like if the Raiders are only up 7 in the fourth quarter, they might not run it quite as much. Hell, if they're losing, we're going to see them do what they did last week and
throw the ball all over the yard.
So those are their numbers. I agree with you. I do think they're going to be able to run the ball against Carolina. But Antonio Pierce said earlier this week, our goal is still to get 20-plus touches with Zamir White. It ain't Zamir. We got to start up front, man. The big boys up front got to block bottom line.
Loves to call them the big boys.
Should Antonio Pierce want to give Zamir White the ball 20-plus times?
Well, if he starts to produce. I think he played the last four games last year. I think he played pretty well. I don't remember how many times he touched the ball in each of those games.
It was close to 20.
Yeah. And I thought he played pretty well. So I think that's what he's thinking. I mean, the offense wants to run the ball. Getsy wants to run the ball. No question about that. And they haven't been able to do that. And a lot of it does have to do with the offensive line, starting with Colton Miller, who hasn't played well in 2 weeks. But I don't mind 20 touches if he's producing. He hasn't produced because, Antonio Pierce says it's all on the offensive line, and maybe it is. But some of it probably has to do with Zamir White also. It's probably a collective here in terms of what's wrong with their run game.
I mean, PFF has him as the worst running back in the league. Right. And PFF isn't just grading it based on, oh, he got 1 yard on this carry. They're grading it on what did the running back do to gain or lose yards on a play.
Right.
Just for clarification, last four games of the year.
What did he do last
rushes
year?
Plus catches, 20, 22, 25, 26.
Including, those are the touches.
Yeah, those are rushes plus catches out of the backfield.
Okay.
So he got over 20 in every single game. This week will likely be different than every game they play the rest of the season because it's Carolina, and Carolina looks like one of the biggest dumpster fires we've ever seen. So setting this upcoming week aside, I think they're insane if they think Zamir White needs 20 touches a game.
Why is that?
Did Antonio Pierce watch the second half of the game last week?
Oh, in terms of how well they did, the way they played?
The offense had been a train wreck through training camp. The offense looked decent
quarterbacks
in one
as well.
Preseason game. Everything about this offense was bad until what? The fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens. And what did they do in that quarter? They stopped trying to run
the ball. They threw the ball.
They just dropped back and threw it every time. Why? Because the two best players on the offense are Davante Adams and Brock Bowers. Give them the ball. Zamir White does not need it double the amount of times you're targeting Davante Adams.
Yeah, I think he says that because that's what Getsy wants to do.
Which is insane. Absolutely
I mean,
insane.
Do you agree? I think that offense wants to run the ball.
And it's insane.
I think they want to run the ball.
Their offensive line has been horrific.
It's been terrible.
And Zamir White's not a good enough running back that you're like, oh, we're going to – it's not McCaffrey where you're like, yeah, we got to get – offensive line is bad, but we got to find ways to get the ball to Zamir White because he's a playmaker. No, you got to find ways to get the ball to Davante Adams and Brock Bowers. They should be coming out throwing to those two because those are their two best pieces on the entire offense. And so I think they're insane. If their plan is we need Zamir White to get 20-plus touches, and if we will use Davante Adams and Brock Bowers, if we have to use Davante Adams and Brock Bowers. No, they should be using those guys the entire game. That should be the game plan, is how do we get those guys the ball a combined 20 times, not Zamir White at the end of the day. Because, listen, they should probably commit to a pass-heavy offense.
If you watched the fourth quarter the other day.
Until we see something from the run game, there's no reason to try to...
I think you'll see something this week.
Again,
Carolina's horrible.
Right. They should be... Listen, if we get to halftime and the Raiders have like 31 rushing yards
and
they're averaging 3 yards a carry...
completely wrong.
But yeah, this week should be fine. But what we haven't seen anything to indicate that this running game is actually going to be good over the course of the season. And so I don't know why you would say, hey, let's make sure we run our heads into a brick wall over and over. Let me ask you this. Colton Miller has been bad.
Yes.
Has not been good. Right. Run blocking or pass blocking. There were two sacks last week that were just straight up Colton Miller.
Right. Yeah.
Just one, he got beat, and the other one, he just didn't block the defensive end that was in front of him. He's been bad both pass blocking and run blocking. Jackson Powers Johnson has not played. Second round pick. Antonio Pierce gave the indication yesterday that he expects Jackson Powers Johnson to play this week. He did also say he thinks Colton Miller hasn't been very good because he missed all of training camp, sort of gave that as an excuse. But all that said, it's been 2 weeks, still small sample size.
Right.
Do you think the offensive line, specifically the run blocking part of it, like, is it good at any point this year? Is it just better than terrible? Like, are they better than what we've seen?
I think Colton Miller has proven over his career he'll get better. And I don't know if he's still limited in practice with the shoulder.
Yeah.
He was limited yesterday, so he's still got this shoulder issue. We don't know how long it's going to take Jackson Powers Johnson to catch up.
Right.
I mean, if Colton Miller, who's as good as he is and is as veteran and savvy as he's taking this much time and, you know, getting the rust off, what's a rookie going to do?
Yeah.
Who's never played in the league? I mean, what's his rust level going to be to start? So if you're telling me the offensive line's never going to be really good this year, I'd have to go on that side of things.
Because right now, they are bottom three offensive line in the league through two games. And I think they'll be better than that by the time the end of the season gets here. But I think we're talking about the 25th best offensive line by the end of the year. I don't think we're talking about a top 10, a top 15.
Well, even in two games, small sample size, it's going to be hard to rise that much.
Right. So I think ultimately this is just, it's a bad offensive line. I don't think they're going to be worse in the league like they have been, but I do think it's a bad one. And if that's the case, you can't say, hey, we're going to hand it to Zamir White 20 times and just expect this below average to bad offensive line to make that work. You're going to be in 2nd and 9 every single drive. So I think they're insane if they still are like, yep, we got to hand it off and run it 20 times. But I think it just goes back to Antonio Pierce's entire mindset. We saw it last year, and we've seen him talk about it so far, is he wants to run the ball for 170 yards.
This is what they want the offense to be.
Control the clock, low possession game, good defense and win at 13
and have the
10.
Big boys up front show a lot of juice.
Like, that's how he wants to win, and I don't think that's the best way for this team to win. I think the best way for this team to win is for Davante Adams and Brock Bowers to get to show the great wide receiver. And is Brock Bowers already one of the top five tight ends in football? He might be. Like, that to me is where they need to emphasize the offense, not Zamir White.
All right. Well, if the offensive line continues to play this way, then your opinion's going to be proven right.
Yeah.
Because they're not any good right now. And again, I'll go back to Jackson Powers Johnson. We have no idea what he's going to be coming in. It could take him an entire season to catch up or to be who they think he is going to be as a second-round pick. And Colton Miller, again, limited, this shoulder injury just won't go away.
Is that he had surgery?
Right.
I didn't fully recover. Like,
it's
seems
been
weird.
This way throughout the whole camp. OTAs, all of that with the shoulder. And, you know, again, we get the injury report, you know, starting on Wednesdays, and he was limited yesterday.
Yeah. That's the weird one is like you get the shoulder surgery and then. Once the season gets here, you're still limited.
You're still limited because of it.
I don't know. It seems like that would be a wait until you're fully recovered type of situation.
Right.
But I don't know. It hasn't been good so far on the field. And
no, he hasn't. He's had two poor games.
And if Colton Miller's not good, the offensive line has no chance to be good because he's the one that's the star offensive lineman.
Right.
The rest of the guys you're hoping give you average to above average production, but he's the one that's supposed to be like got left tackle lockdown.
Right.
You guys figure out the other spots, and we should be decent at least, but hasn't been good so far. So I'm going to give you this prediction too. The Raiders are going to find fool's gold this weekend. They're going to run the ball well. And then Antonio Pierce is going to be like, this is what we need to do every game. And then the next like 3 weeks, they played real defenses because it's Cleveland and
Pittsburgh. Well, the
following
week, they are going to play a real defense in Cleveland.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh is 2 weeks after that, I believe.
Right.
So you're going to play really good defenses, and they're going to hand it off to Zamir White 14 times, and he's going to have 17 yards, and they're going to be looking around saying, how come we can't score?
Yeah, I mean, if Minshew can continue to get the ball to the outside, and Brock Bowers does a great job in those zones, kind of sitting in the zone, he's incredible at that, then maybe that's the way you got to go. Now you're counting on Gardner Minshew being good.
I mean, all he's got to do is throw the ball at least within 5 yards of the out-of-bounds line, and Davante Adams will lean over and catch
the ball.
Oh, come on, he can do that, right?
Right.
Minshew's good enough. He can miss by that much and get Adams to make the catch. So let him throw it. Let this be Gardner Minshew's team. Make it happen. He's creative enough to make that happen. You'll lose some games like 41-17 because he's got three terrible turnovers. That's okay. You're going to lose some games anyways. All right, coming up next here at ESPN Las Vegas, John Gruden wants to coach college football.
Live from the Findlay Toyota ESPN Las Vegas studios, this is the Press Box with Graney and Bischoff on ESPN Las Vegas.
John Gruden wants to coach again. Gruden talked to CBS Sports. He said, yeah, I'm interested in coaching. My dad was a college coach. I was a college coach at Pitt. My wife was a cheerleader at Tennessee when I met her. Hell yeah, I'm interested in coaching. I know I can help a team. I know I can help young players get better. And I know I can hire a good staff. And that's the only thing I can guarantee. But yeah, I'm very interested in coaching at any level. This story was largely about John Gruden coaching at the college level. Gruden, if you don't remember, resigned as the Raiders head coach in 2021 after emails he had sent prior to coaching the Raiders were leaked that had sexist, racist, homophobic messages in them. Do you think a college program would hire John Gruden?
Oh, there's always someone out there who would explain away that he made mistakes and everyone deserves a second chance if they think he could make them win. Winning's everything. I think there'd be programs out there who would use that reasoning that we always hear about, you know, made mistakes, second chance, good coach, going to help young people. I bet there's programs out there who would.
The interesting thing to me is in this story, CBS Sports talked to some different ADs that talked anonymously about this.
Right.
But a couple of them gave sort of the same sentiment that a power conference job probably wouldn't consider it, but Group of Five jobs would. Like there was an anonymous group of five AD who said, if I was hiring a coach, I would absolutely interview John Gruden. If I was at, say, an SEC school, I probably wouldn't interview John Gruden. Because in theory, if you're at an SEC school, you can interview a good coach who hasn't sent homophobic, racist, and sexist emails. If you're at Toledo, John Gruden might be a better coach than anybody you can hire, and the only reason he's available is because of why he resigned.
Because of why he resigned.
Right. So I thought that was interesting, which leads me to this question. Would John Gruden coach in, like, the MAC? Would he coach in Conference USA?
The more time that goes by, the more apt he would, because he might not think he's going to get another opportunity.
Like, is he signing up to recruit to Buffalo?
I mean, John Gruden has an ego to where he thinks he could win at Buffalo. He's got such a big ego, he probably thinks that he could recruit enough good players to win at Buffalo. Like I said, the more time that passes and the more time that he doesn't have any offers,
yeah,
then I could see him taking a group of five job. Yeah.
Is he coaching Wyoming when the Mountain West is adding FCS schools?
He says he'll coach at any level. I wonder if that means high school.
It can't mean high school, right? He doesn't want to coach high school football.
I don't think he wants to, and I don't think he would. But when you throw out there any level, maybe he's just talking about Power 4 or G5. I mean, he's talking about college, obviously. Yeah. So is he talking about FCS?
I doubt it. I'd be surprised if he would go coach at the FCS level. That would be, I mean, what's the point of that?
Agree with you. I just, when he says all levels, I don't really know what he's talking about.
In this story, it's a pretty long story, but John Gruden is still doing 14-hour days where he's watching film all the time. Like, he's still getting to he's got his own office building.
Right.
He's still getting to his own office to start watching film at like 5 in the morning. And he said that he gets texts and calls from coaches in the NFL to vent or ask for help or stuff like that on a regular basis. Like, he's still putting in ridiculous hours while not having
watching
a job.
Film while not having a job.
Yeah. It's absurd that he's doing this.
I don't want to say I wouldn't hire him.
So, okay.
I don't...
It's college football. I think you, as an athletic department, are going to be at a disadvantage if you don't hire people like John Gruden, or if you're not willing to hire people like John Gruden, and if you're not willing to take on players that have questionable pasts.
It's
sports. People get second and third and fourth chances.
All the time.
Yes. Nonstop. So I don't think it's... If you're running a college program, you're fine if you were to hire John Gruden. Yeah, you're going to have to answer.
You're going to have the one press conference.
Right. But, like, I don't think it's some crazy, like, it's just the reality of what it is. But after reading this story, I don't think there's any way John Gruden could be a successful college football coach. Because let me read you some of the parts of this. Gruden also likes Iowa's Kirk Ferentz, whose ground-and-pound offense rarely lights up scoreboards, but usually results in 10-win seasons. Gruden said, a lot of the passes, they're not even passes. They're running plays with built-in pass adjustments. You call them RPOs. I call it a ridiculous pass protection offense. I can't stand the clapping snap count. Don't tell me the game is evolving. Cavemen clapped their hands and pointed at their mouth when they were hungry, before electricity. Gruden bemoaned shotgun runs, bubble screens, false starts, and too many instant replay challenges. So Gruden likes Iowa's offense, doesn't like RPOs, and doesn't want to run out of the shotgun.
Coaching in 1985.
Zero chance this guy works in a college level. I mean, of all the college programs that got highlighted in this story,
it was Iowa.
It was Iowa's ground and pound offense that John Gruden liked. No chance I'm hiring this guy. Not a chance in hell. If you walked in and said, all right, we need to be like Iowa's offense, I'm like, all right, see you later. Get out of here.
And you're saying that mostly because he's what's saying football wise.
Yeah.
Not the other stuff.
The other stuff, I can get around that at some point if I'm a college athletic director. I'm going to hire people that have done worse things than that probably at some point. But you're walking into my office being like, yeah, we're going to win by being Iowa's offense.
Right.
RPOs, we never won. The best offenses in college football just spam RPOs because they're so damn hard to defend. Gruden's like, we can't do that. That's ridiculous. No chance he works at the college level if this is what he tries to implement.
If he's impressed by their offense, I wonder what he thinks about their punting. Sees it just as many plays as their offense.
Right? Yeah. I mean, forget about who the coach is. If anyone walked in to an interview and started talking about Iowa's offense, complained about RPOs, and was like, we can't run the ball out of the shotgun. We got to get under center with a fullback. I mean, you're not hiring that guy. He also complained that nobody in college football runs three tight end sets anymore. What's going on? Right. I don't know. Like, you can't hire you. There's no chance. It's college football. Maybe in the NFL you can convince yourself that, yeah.
Well, he had a fullback in the NFL.
Right. But not in college. The whole name of the game in college is spread everybody out and use your speed and their inability to tackle. That's a big reason of what makes good offenses in college football is that defenses can't tackle, and you usually have faster guys on offense than they have on defense. And he's just going to completely ignore that because he wants to play three tight ends because he wants a fullback lead blocking through the hole on his halfback dive.
Martin on the text line, would you not take him at UNLV? Get real.
No. Not after reading this.
I mean, not after seeing what Barry Odom's done.
Well, I think in theory this is Barry Odom takes a job somewhere because he got UNLV to the college football playoff.
Exactly.
But God, no.
Exactly.
Has John Gruden ever recruited before either? Like, that's the entire other part
what
of
the
college
Pitt?
Football.
What did he do at Pitt? I don't know.
I don't either. I
don't even know if he recruited at Pitt
but
or if he was a recruiter.
Either way, that was in, what, the 80s?
Right.
Like, outside of the actual on-field football stuff, recruit, like we just saw Herm Edwards try to do this at Arizona State.
Right.
Did not work at all. Not for a single second. So, yeah, I don't think I'd hire John Gruden to be a college football coach.
He was the wide receiver at Pitt, wide receiver coach.
And what year?
So probably
1981?
1991.
Oh, wow. It was a decade off there.
1981 was before he coached.
Okay. So
he was only 18 in 81.
All right. Sorry, John Gruden. I thought you were a lot older than you actually are.
No, he is 61 years old. His first coaching job was at Tennessee.
Okay. So he's probably recruited, but it's a much different world now.
30 years ago.
Yeah. Could you imagine Gruden? I don't believe in NIL.
He probably doesn't.
I know. I don't believe in paying kids. Like,
we didn't get that quote, but he probably doesn't.
So you're never going to pay a kid, and you're going to run the Iowa offense,
right? That's what he's going to have to run the Iowa offense because he's not going to pay anybody. All he's going to be able to get is walk-on tight ends,
fullbacks.
Those are the only guys that'll go play for him. So no, after reading that, you can't hire him to run a college football program unless it's like Air Force. Like, that's it.
Oh,
like,
he might do well there.
Yeah, we'll run the triple. He's probably got problems with the triple option, though. We just haven't heard about it. He's like, you got to pitch the ball. We don't pitch the ball. We stick it in their belly.
It off.
You put it in their belly and run for 5 yards up the middle. Coming up next, it's time for your fantasy football questions. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire is going to be here. If you've got fantasy football questions, text them in now, 702-364-1100. That is the text line. Whatever you got, if you want to pick somebody up, you got to trade, you need to figure out who to start, Jeff Erickson will answer that question. 702-364-1100 is the text line. Send your fantasy questions in now.
Need help in fantasy football? Got questions about your lineup? Don't worry. RotoWire's Jeff Erickson is here to help with your fantasy football needs.
702-364-1100. That's the text line. If you've got fantasy football questions, send them in now. We will get them to Jeff Erickson. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey,
Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Looking forward to a very critical week. This is both in the NFL and in fantasy. You start off 0-2. It's desperation time. You start off 3-0. You're like, okay, we're going to make the playoffs this year. It's feeling pretty good. So it's one of those big weeks, I feel like.
Well, then I'm desperate.
Oh, Ed's desperate over here.
I'm desperate over here.
Jeff, I want to start asking you about the Chiefs' backfield. What happens here? Is Carson Steele going to be a league winner in fantasy football, or is this just going to be a mess for the next 2 months or so?
You know, I think it's going to change from a week-to-week basis. I look at what's going on with the players that they have. Carson Steele, he's in a 485, basically. I think it was quicker at his pro day, but, you know, I think for the most part, you know, he's not a fast back. And I think that's one of the things that's going to hold him back a little bit there. But he might be the most productive guy this week. You know, Kareem Hunt's ramping up to speed. So is Samaje Perine, for that matter. Only played 9 snaps last week. I think Perine's got the most static role of the three. I think he's someone that will be in on passing downs a little bit more often, kind of playing that Jerick McKinnon role from a couple of years ago. But, you know, you just don't know which week that's going to come through. I wouldn't spend big in free agent money on any of these guys. I think it's going to be kind of a muddled mess. I don't even know how much Kareem Hunt has left in the tank, to be honest. I mean, I think he might be the guy that ultimately is the starter while Pacheco is out. And the problem is, I think Pacheco is going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks, and it might be more.
We're going to see the Panthers take on the Raiders here. What does Andy Dalton do for that team fantasy-wise? Is Deontay Johnson actually playable now?
Borderline. I think he is not going to be, you know, I think he does salvage some value there. Bryce Young was not making the read. I think it was a case here where this may not be a permanent benching, but I think to save, like, the locker room, they had to make this trade. Because I think you could see, like, you watched the game against the Chargers last week, you could see he was missing throws. He was missing open players, taking sacks that he didn't need to take. And some of that is he's in a bad situation. It's still a bad offensive line. But I also think this is also a move to kind of salvage his career as well. Just let him see the game develop a little bit. Sometimes these quarterbacks get thrown out right away. And, you know, we see C.J. Stroud and we expect, you know, okay, if he's going to be great in this league, that's the way we got to do it. But Jordan Love sat for a couple of years. That method still works. You know, slow cooking a prospect.
All right, 702-364-1100 is the text line. First one is from Samuel. This is a two-parter. So first, he needs two of these three wide receivers, DK Metcalf, Jameson Williams, or Zay Flowers.
I have Williams and Flowers back-to-back in my rankings. I have Williams 24, Flowers 25. So I guess Flowers is the odd man out. But, man, what a good problem to have.
And then the second part of his question is he needs a flex play, and his choices are Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, or Zay Flowers, who he's not using for those two, one of those two wide receiver spots.
So two of these three players are sitting? Holy cow. Josh Jacobs, I would start over the other two. But, man, again, I'd like to be in a world where Derrick Henry is my third running back.
702-364-1100. That's the text line. Here's a fun quarterback question for you. Derek Carr or Jaden Daniels?
It's Daniels, but it's close because of the running yards. Makes it close. Carr is right there at the edge for me. I have him at 13 this week. That makes him a start. You know, most leagues, probably, you know, he's going to be a starting quarterback because chances are you don't have the guy that's above him. It's close. It's really close. I'm going to go Daniels here, but I kind of want to see it against a tougher defense like Philly, and then then I think he's totally in the top 10 in circle of trust.
Chris wants to know, Rico Dowdle or Ty Chandler?
All right, this is more the lane that I'm used to here. I'm going to go watch Aaron Jones with the hip injury. Was limited in practice yesterday. If he's on the, you know, if he doesn't go to full practice, then I'd go Chandler. Right now I've got Dowdle slightly ahead.
Should I start Garrett Wilson, he wants to know, or Devontae Smith?
I'd start Garrett Wilson. That's tonight's game.
Defense question for you from Ray. Buffalo or Las Vegas?
Good question. I've got it as Buffalo 5, Las Vegas 6. So Buffalo, but it's super close.
Patrick wants to know, Tony Pollard or Breece Hall?
Breece Hall. No, let's not overthink it.
702-364-1100. That is the text line. Thomas has for a flex spot Ezekiel Elliott, Samaje Perine, Quentin Johnston, or Gus Edwards.
I go Johnston. Gus Edwards got 18 carries last week, so he's getting usage, but I hate the matchup against the Steelers this week.
Flex spot, Xavier Warrior, Travis Etienne, or Amari Cooper?
Etienne. I'm worried a little bit about the Jags offensive line, yes, but the offense is still going to run through him. All it takes is one touchdown for him to cash in on his value.
Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely?
Andrews. I think we kind of overreacted to week one a little bit there. Andrews is working his way back from an injury and then had a car accident in training camp where he mostly sat out of practice for 2 weeks. Ravens were kind of quiet about that. you know, they're not required to post that on the injury report, but I think he was slowly working his way back. I go Anderson.
Quarterback Joe Burrow or Derek Carr?
I go Burrow, especially this week against the Commanders. Really love that matchup.
We've got pick one to put on the bench. Rashid Shaheed, I think Devontae Adams is who he's asking for, Rashi Rice or Garrett Wilson.
Man, I get where this is coming from because he's had Shaheed on his bench the last 2 weeks, getting frustrated. I still have him below those guys, though. That is the real problem there is, you know, he's so good, but at the same time, how do you bench any of those other guys ahead of him?
702-364-1100, that is the text line. Another Raiders defense question, Raiders or Chargers?
I go Raiders this week. Even with the red rifle at quarterback, it's still a really good setup here. Chargers are close. I've got them at 9, but I'm going to go Raiders.
One flex spot, Austin Eckler, DJ Moore, or Xavier Worthy?
DJ Moore. He's the alpha on that Bears passing offense still.
Stafford or Purdy?
Oh, Purdy this week. Stafford has nobody left. I'm in a league where I have Burrow as my starter. I bid on Carr to replace Stafford permanently just because, you know, Puka's out long-term, and Cooper Kupp sounds like he's going to miss at least a couple weeks, and they're still contemplating an IR spot for him. So Stafford's a great player, but he just has nobody to throw to right now.
I know you start him and you play him and everything, but are you worried at all about Kelsey's production?
Yeah, I am a little bit. He's at an age where tight ends start to decline. I think it'll get better. He went through some stretches like this last year. The problem is he's starting to go through these stretches now a little bit more. I think that's the thing that's a little different. He used to be, right as rain, very consistent. You know, if he had one bad game, okay, it's fine. He'd bounce back the next week. But this is kind of the nature of the tight end position, and it's starting to hit him a little bit more now.
Carlos wants to know, one running back he needs to start in a PPR league, Carson Steele, Aaron Jones, or Zamir White?
Aaron Jones, if he's healthy, and then Zamir White otherwise.
For a flex spot, Drake London, Jacoby Myers, or Jerry Jeudy?
I'm going to go Drake London on this one here. I know you're a little nonplussed about his production so far. Get the Chiefs this week. They're going to have to throw a lot more. I think you're going to see him and Pitts have better days.
Joe says, I'm in trouble. I have Stafford and Caleb Williams. Either of them this week, or should I pick up Kirk Cousins or Deshaun Watson?
Good grief. This is a tough one here. I'd go Kirk Cousins. Probably cut Stafford and start Cousins. Caleb, I want to give a little bit more time.
And then we've got – oh, I lost it. Oh, here we go. This is your question that you're going to get every week from our favorite listener, Ryan. How much better is Bo Nix over Caleb Williams, seeing as how Caleb Williams is working with a revamped team?
He's not better. Bo Nix, Bo Nix pulled the sarcastic answer to a reporter thing about his interception in the end zone last week. My God, you play two games. You haven't earned the right to do that yet. I made a bad read, but this has got to be the answer there. But I get the frustration, but no, he is not better.
Jeff, before we let you go, I just want to know, where is Gardner Minshew on your quarterback rankings this week?
21.
Ahead
of Trevor Lawrence, ahead of Matthew Stafford.
Man, all right. Panthers just going to give up too many points, and there's going to be no passing game in the second half. Is that the problem?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, yeah. Although Brock Bowers is so legit. I might revisit that a little bit there, but I think this might be a game where they get out ahead. I think you're going to see a lot more of Zamir White than you usually do.
Well, he is Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, always here on Thursdays to answer your fantasy football questions. Jeff, as always, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
My pleasure. Take care.
So there is Jeff Erickson answering your fantasy football questions. I didn't get to the other one from Ryan, which was if you had to rank Tyler, Ed, and Danny on a fantasy football level, who would you start, bench, and cut?
I saw that one.
Well, Ryan, send that in next week. We'll ask that to
we'll
Jeff.
Ask that question.
See what happens there. So, yeah, always good to get answers from Jeff for fantasy football every Thursday. If you sent a question in and didn't get it answered by Jeff, we'll get Danny to answer for you later in the show, get the real expert to help you out. Coming up next, though, here on ESPN Las Vegas, we'll get back into the NFL. Was that Dave Canales?
Yeah. No.
No?
That was Baker Mayfield, former Panther quarterback.
Oh. Wow. All right.
Talking, basically just saying the Panthers suck and Bryce Young needs to go somewhere
yeah,
else.
He needs to be on a different team and they'll be fine. Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals didn't sign any sort of new contract. Ja'Marr Chase was holding in throughout the preseason, and we've gotten two stories. First one from ESPN is that Ja'Marr Chase isn't going to negotiate during the season. He wanted to get a new contract done. He himself even gave the quote before the season started that Friday, before their first game on a Sunday, that Friday was the deadline in his mind. Now, he said it weird, so it sounded like that, oh, deadline in your mind, what the hell does that mean? You could sign it in 5 days. But according to ESPN, Ja'Marr Chase is not going to negotiate during the season. We've talked about this before. Why would he not?
I have no idea. What if they come to him with some extraordinary offer, even more than they've already offered?
Yeah.
Which he agreed to, I thought.
And he's just going to say, nope, it's during the season.
He's going to say, no, instead of $90 million, we're going to give you $120 million guaranteed, and you're not going to do it just because we're in the third week of the season?
It's very strange to me. First off, the agents are the ones that are doing most of
this
negotiation.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything. They just call him up and say, this is what they're offering.
Right. And what are you doing all day? Like, yeah, it's football. You got to go to the facility and practice and
lift weights.
But you're not so busy that you can't take a call from your agent and listen to what they've offered.
Right.
So it's just very strange to me. Very bizarre when people are like, I'm not going to negotiate during the season.
You're not doing the negotiations.
Right. It's not going to take that much from Ja'Marr Chase to do so. Now, maybe he means he's not going to use any negotiation tactics. And if the Bengals want to offer him a contract that he'll accept it. But very strange to me when we get that. We did get another detail. This one was from Sports Illustrated. That the reason the contract was not signed, the reason there was not a signed extension between Chase and the Bengals, is because they couldn't agree on guarantee dates. So Cincinnati offered a 4-year extension worth $140 million with $90 million guaranteed. And Ja'Marr Chase, according to the story, was on board with that. The $140 million, the $90 million guaranteed. But Cincinnati wanted some of it to stay unguaranteed until 2027, which means it's not guaranteed, and which would mean if Ja'Marr Chase got hurt, or even if he just played poorly,
they could get out of it.
They could get out of it and not have to pay him that money.
That money, yeah.
And Chase, obviously, the player, wants the guaranteed money
up front,
paid earlier,
sure,
or just fully guaranteed at some point. And they did not agree on a contract because of that detail. Money and years apparently agreed to when the guaranteed money actually becomes guaranteed is what they couldn't agree on.
This is new. I haven't heard this before.
Yeah, it's a very specific detail.
That I haven't heard before. Usually when it's guaranteed, it's guaranteed.
Right. There's sometimes like a 1-year guarantee where it's like you get a signing bonus, and then as long as you're healthy the following January, then the rest of it's guaranteed. And normally it's a quarterback, so you're going to be on the roster. Like you don't lose that. But yeah, this is something that's like, and 2027 is 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, that's not guaranteed money.
This is typical Cincinnati.
I don't understand what the Bengals are doing.
No, I don't. I mean, if I'm him, I wouldn't have done this either.
Right.
I wouldn't have taken that deal. He didn't have any problem with the money, but I wouldn't, if they came back with me this, and this is what it was going to be about with the unguaranteed until 3 years from now, I'd be like, no.
Like, we don't know how much of it was going to be unguaranteed until 2027, but like, if half of it was unguaranteed until 2027,
that.
Then that means you signed a deal which technically only has
$45 million guaranteed.
Right. So again, we don't know how much that was. Maybe it was only $10 million and Ja'Marr Chase was just like, bleep you, make it all guaranteed right now. But whatever. Yeah, it's kind of absurd that you would say, all right, 3 years from now,
we'll guarantee the rest.
3 years from now, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be negotiating a new contract.
Yeah.
Like,
or he could be hurt.
You're going to be in this boat again 3 years from now. So I don't get what they're doing, because we're talking about a player that the Bengals are almost certainly going to sign to an extension. You're not letting Ja'Marr Chase walk, right? So why are you not signing the extension and appeasing him, right, and getting this done before the season starts? And then you agreed on the money, but you're right. the guaranteed part of it.
This is the offer you made.
Right. I don't get what they're doing. I don't understand it. It's Ja'Marr Chase. If this was T. Higgins, yeah, okay, maybe you don't want T. Higgins and you're going to play hardball and you need every detail to be yours. But with Ja'Marr Chase, I don't understand.
Right.
Bengals, this seems like a big screw up here on their part. And Ja'Marr Chase, they've angered their second most important player on the team.
Right.
Over 3 years of when the guaranteed money kicks in.
Never heard of this.
Stupid. Yeah.
I've never heard of it. Usually when these contracts come out and it says it's guaranteed, it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's how much money's guaranteed, and it's over, and they sign the deal.
Yeah. And now the Bengals are 0-2 with losses to New England and Kansas City, and Ja'Marr Chase has gotten off to a slow start. He only has 11 catches for 97 yards through two games, doesn't have a touchdown here. You think the Bengals are in some trouble at 0-2?
I think anyone 0-2 might be in a little trouble. I think Baltimore might be in a little trouble.
I was going to say, that's the good news for them, is that Baltimore is also 0-2, and in theory, those are going to be the top two teams in that division. So if Baltimore's not ahead of you after you start 0-2, that's good.
Yes.
Pittsburgh is 2-0. Did you guys know Pittsburgh has more wins than offensive touchdowns?
No. That's a great stat.
Division leader with one offensive touchdown.
But two wins.
Two wins on the season. Mike Tomlin is just never going to die. He's just going to take the worst roster in football 1 year, and they're going to be 7-7 in a wild card race with a couple of weeks to go. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
He's just never going to die. They're going to be like, we haven't scored a touchdown all season. If we win our last two games, we're in the playoffs. So, fun division. Ravens and Bengals still probably going to finish on top.